Join with me in Proverbs 10, verse 23. It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. So the first truth, when we're talking about godly wisdom last week and foolishness this week, is that we need to see that failing to cultivate a heart for godly wisdom leaves a vacuum to folly. One can't exist without the other one being the mirror image of it. You can't just be nothing in between where you're just sort of maybe a little bit foolish and sort of maybe a little bit wise. You might be on the path to one or the other, but if one does not exist in one case, the other will. In Proverbs 14 and verse 8, it says, "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." Now, from a couple weeks ago, we had a few different necessities that are going to be kind of mirrored a little bit here tonight. The first necessity is a necessity of conversion. Now, we're talking about the fool. An unconverted person has one ultimate guiding principle, and that is themselves. When you're not saved, it is where you are the person that's going to guide it. In Proverbs 18, verse 2, it says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." Right? So this heart may discover itself. We're going to go into a little bit deeper in a future verse, but he has no delight in the wisdom that we've been talking about, no seeking after it whatsoever. In Proverbs 26, verse 5, it says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Now, I know Pastor Joel mentioned in a previous week that the previous verse before that says to not answer a fool according to his folly, and it seems almost like a duality type of thing going on, but I was trying to think of a good example, a good way to illustrate this, and my thought went to, imagine you're having an argument with a kid, right? In a lot of cases, they're going to be arguing about something dumb, about why their toy is better than so-and-so's toy, and some really good reasons that they have to give you as to why that's the case. But in the end, you're not going to be answering the kid, arguing with him on that level. If he's being disrespectful, you're going to stop him from doing that. But now, imagine someone like Richard Dawkins, right? He argues that there is no God a lot, and he's foolish for doing so. That's the type of person that we do answer. We answer back and back towards that sort of thing. One, you're being drawn into the folly. The other one, you're answering the folly or rebuking the folly. The next necessity is a necessity of a humble spirit. A proud person has no room for correction or learning. We talked a lot about the wise person accepting correction because he thinks he has everything together. Everything's good. There is no problem. In Proverbs 14 and verse 6, it says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Now that word rageth, I looked up. I like using Strong's Concordance. I have never taken a Hebrew class in my life, so please forgive any of the nuances of Hebrew that I may get wrong. I'll leave that to Pastor Joel, certainly. But the Hebrew word there, abar, it has the idea of going ahead of or in advance of someone else, so jumping over type of thing. That overconfidence that this fool has, right? We're talking about the fool rageth. He's overconfidence will cause him to pass by that sound advice that we're looking for, to pass over wisdom completely, because he thinks he already has that wisdom. I'm sure no one in here has ever met someone who is too smart to listen to other people, that saying, like, we have that for a reason, probably. That's the idea of this, that idea of someone raging against wisdom. Another necessity that's kind of related is the necessity of a hunger for that godly wisdom, right? A foolish person doesn't have that appetite that we talked about because he's distracted and has a stronger desire for folly, right? So why would you have a stronger desire for folly? Well, it's actually kind of human nature. In Proverbs 10, verse 23, it says, "It is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." So that sport, the word there, it has the idea of laughter. A good example of this, I recently just had a review course for the final in one of my classes, and it was kind of a Quizlet-style thing where you're trying to press the button faster than everyone else, you're trying to beat everyone. There was a good spirit of competition going on, and at one point in time, there was a list of four answers that you could give, and the faster you answer the question, the more points you get. Well, they asked the question in the class, and I, of course, super confident that I knew that the first one was right, hit the first answer, and it was right. But then again, so was the second and the third, and it turns out it was one of those all of the above questions that teachers love to throw into your tests. And so, of course, everyone laughs when they see, you know, the person at the bottom because they didn't wait till the end of the question. That kind of laughter, that kind of foolishness. But, you know, you think about a more serious type of thing. When someone's answering before they've heard someone speak out their entire situation, you know, a judge obviously couldn't do this. You couldn't have a judge that did this sort of thing, spoke without hearing the entire case. Those are the more serious things that it's talking about. So the second verse that supports this hunger is Proverbs 18, verse 2. And it's a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now, I remember I referred to this verse earlier and said we're going to be talking a little bit deeper into that. The idea of your heart discovering itself, you think, oh, that's kind of a thing that you talk to wise people, right? Oh, you have to really learn why you're doing the things that you're doing. But it's more the idea that the foolish person has in their heart that they really love their own opinions. They love hearing themselves speak, so to speak, right? They believe that those are the best ones. They love doing it. They love talking about it. They're willing to tell anyone, and they don't really do much listening or seeking after that wisdom because they already are discovering what their wisdom is inside of themselves. It gets almost postmodern after a certain point where there's your own truth that you're trying to discover, that sort of foolishness that continues on from it. Another necessity is the necessity of a right source for your worldview, right? Where are you getting this wisdom from? We talk a lot about he listens to wisdom, the wise man listens to wisdom. The foolish person looks for people who will tell him what he wants to hear rather than what he needs to hear, right? In Proverbs 13, verse 20, he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So companionship, or the word companion here, goes a little bit deeper than just someone who is friends with. It's actually used in other places for the idea of shepherding or feeding or pasture. So this isn't just someone who's hanging out with people who may be foolish. This is someone who is getting their sustenance, their nourishment spiritually from these other people. This type of companionship they're going for. And it's a feeding cycle, right? Because if they're being fed this type of foolishness from these other people, they're also getting fed at the same time, and they're feeding each other. It just becomes this really crazy cycle, kind of like, I don't know how many programs there are in here, but sort of like a recursion type of deal where you just keep going down and down and down over and over again, and it just gets worse as time goes on. So that hunger for, or that necessity for the right worldview really is going to be dependent on who you're going to be around, those wise people for wise counsel that we're talking about before. If you have wise counsel, though, there's one other thing you need to do, and that's the necessity or willingness to change, right? You have to be willing to change this. A foolish person doesn't think that they need to be corrected. They don't need to change. Their greatest need is that self-expression that we've kind of already talked about, right? He's looking for his own foolishness, how to expand that. In Proverbs 17:10, it says, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." This is a pretty violent example. 100 stripes is a lot, even in biblical times. And I have an illustration for this one that's a great example, and it's about my brother. And I did ask his permission beforehand, though. So this is 100% a permission story, and my mother, I'm sure, will remember this story as we go about it. But I remember one time when we were younger, we were getting ready for church, and my brother had something that he needed some sort of correction for. And so we're all sitting in the car, and I see my brother and mom come out of the door, and then I see him say something to my mom, and they turn back around and go in the house. It turns out he needed more correction for whatever it was. So finally, the second time he comes back out, they open the door, and this time I hear what he says, and it's, "That didn't hurt." And so I'm sure that parents have never had anything like that. No one in here has ever experienced anything like that. And so, of course, the door closed, and they went back inside. And he finally comes out the final time, and he gets strapped into the car seat. And my mother puts the car in reverse, and at this time, I'm sure that he thought, surely she wouldn't stop the car now at this point in time. And so one more time, he says, "That didn't hurt." Well, he was wrong. She put the car back in the drive, and we ended up being approximately a half an hour late to church that morning. But it was for good reason. He had to understand that correction was something that he needed, not something to be fighting against. That, now, it wasn't 100 stripes, I promise you. Like, my mom's not like that. It was not 100 stripes, I guarantee it. But that idea, this is a stubbornness that comes about people. But another thing that kind of goes along with this is Proverbs 26:11, where it says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so doth the fool return to his folly." This is a little bit different. Your dog's not really stubborn, and he's trying to stick it to you every time he goes to eat his vomit. No, this is like an instinct. This is something that has been totally put into him at this point in time, a trained thing. It can be trained out of him, but this is a thing that he instinctually does. He's not trying to rebel against you as he does this thing. It's just something that happens. This type of thing happens to the fool as well. The longer that you're in this type of foolishness, the more instinctual it becomes to just continue in that foolishness. It's not a natural inclination to leave it, to make that change, right? The dog requires a lot of training. Children require a lot of instruction in a lot of cases. This is not an instinctual thing. Another necessity, though, along with that, is continuing to learn rather than stagnating, right? The foolish person feels that he has arrived, like he's gotten where it is. I imagine, as we've talked about in the previous weeks, You're not going to find someone who's seeking after godly wisdom that goes, I found all the godly wisdom. Like, I can show you guys where the references are. Like, everything's fine. I got all of it. That's just not going to happen. In Proverbs 28:26, Solomon says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Right? So blind trust in what you already know is just going to lead to a bad end unless it's grounded in that godly wisdom, right? You need to be continuing to examine the things that you are doing. The idea of deliverance in this verse, the last word, is it has the connotation of escape, something that to escape from or away from. If you look at all the different things that we've talked about in previous weeks when contrasting wisdom and foolishness, the end of the fool isn't a good one. And that's what it's talking about escaping in this, right? You're trying to escape or be delivered from that. A great example of the attitude of, well, you know, we've always done it this way. How many of you have heard the saying, we ain't never done it that way before? I think Patch the Pirate has a song about it too, right? That's just a really common attitude for people after they've gotten to where they feel they've arrived, right? But really, that stagnation is dangerous. It's especially dangerous in a spiritual area. No one's ever arrived and found everything. I know Paul never said anywhere in his that he had arrived. Luke, any of the apostles never said any of that. The Old Testament prophets, I never saw them say that they had arrived or made it to wherever it was. Even people like Enoch and Elijah, they didn't talk about having made it. Another necessity is trust in God's providence, right? The foolish person thinks that he can change his circumstances or becomes bitter against God rather than trusting in his providence. In Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So this perversion type of thing doesn't just have the connotation of evil. It's kind of a twisting, right? So it's not like this person is necessarily setting out to, I want to do evil, although we'll see that the fool does actually do that in a lot of cases later on. But no, this is the idea of he's twisted what the events look like to him, maybe because of what his thought processes are, so that it's in a darker way or sometimes a sinful way. A person's foolishness actively bends that perception. And the idea of fretting, it's not just worry, it's almost an anger and a sadness mixed together the words that it uses in that case, right? So this person has gotten to the point where they've twisted whatever situation they're in to a point where they no longer are accepting of God and understanding of him, but they are sort of struggling against him in sadness and anger at the same time. All of these different things, though, you notice how a lot of times I reference wisdom through it. None of these things exist in the vacuum. There's either the wisdom or the foolishness, right? And you're on a guide. That whole idea of stagnation, there's no sitting in the middle, right? Stagnation is foolishness. That's what it talks about in the scriptures. So the second truth, let's see a little bit of that destruction that we were talking about. The consequences of folly are self-destructive, right? So the first one, damaging relationships. This happens a lot. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. So I'm sure that everyone at some point in time has run into someone who is a manipulator, right? Someone who is very nice when talking to you in front of you, and then behind your back isn't even necessarily actively trying to cut you down. But this can be interpreted that way here, and you know, they sort of drop a comment there, sort of an offhand side type of thing. The word slander in this is also translated as a whisper in some cases. This is a very quiet thing. This isn't a shouting from the rooftops how evil you are. No, this is a very insidious type of thing, and that damages the people around you when you're doing that. And that part of thing, that foolishness, it sort of protects the fool in a way. That whisper, oh, well, I didn't mean it like that, or I think you misinterpreted, those sorts of things, right? This foolishness becomes these lying lips that are hiding, as it says in the beginning, hideth hatred with lying lips, and out of that slander, that whispering slander, that foolishness will destroy the relationships around you. Another effect of self-destructiveness is twisted desires. We talked a little bit about the twisting that can happen with a foolish mindset earlier, but in Proverbs 10, verse 23, going back to that, is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Right, so the very base desires of a fool change as time goes on with this foolishness. I recently was watching a video on a news site, and there was a girl in Poland who, she was on some social media, Instagram I believe it was, broke the nose of a 200-something-year-old statue. right? So we're going back to that sport idea, and her friends are laughing in the background while she's doing this, right? It's some sort of monument, and she's destroying it. That type of foolishness, that laughter that we were talking about with that sport, that's what happens with that type of foolishness, right? It becomes destructive. Your desires to do things, to destroy things in some cases, they become twisted in ways that God didn't intend for someone who's seeking after wisdom. Another thing is the inability to advance. Now, this is a little bit different than the stagnation. This is more advancement just in life. In Proverbs 11:29, it says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." Right? This is a really visual picture, which Proverbs does a lot. Wind or air, it's sort of emptiness, right? Inheriting. So you're going to get emptiness as you're being foolish. The amount of troubles that the fool generates for those around him. A good visual example. You can have someone, and I've had people that I've worked with in the past, down when I was living in South Carolina. I had one coworker who was very, I don't want to say insolent to his boss necessarily, but he caused a lot of troubles to his boss. He didn't do his job very well, slacked off, and this wasn't a, he just didn't know how to do it. It was a purposeful, like, I just don't really feel like doing it sort of thing. He had been there for a long time, though. He had been there for at least 3 years by the time I had been there. There's another guy who had just came in. He was a freshman and just started working there, extremely hardworking, showed responsibility not just at work, but when talking with him about his personal life and things in classes, he showed an responsibility in getting things like that done. He'd only been working there for about half a year at that point in time, and the position for management had opened up above it. Now, if you're the boss and you're looking down and one guy's caused you nothing but grief and you've had to go and fix stuff and another guy has gone outside of responsibilities, who's the one that's going to get promoted? And he ended up, yes, being the one that got promoted. But it's that idea, right? The foolish person is going to inherit wind, nothing, like emptiness. That's what's going to come of that sort of end, right? It may be self-rewarding for that small amount of time in the beginning, but in the end, you are not going to advance wherever you are, whereas the person who's diligent, hardworking, and seeking after that godly wisdom and living in that way, they're going to be the ones advancing. You're going to be underneath of them, as the verse talks about. A foolish person is also conceited. So in Proverbs 12, verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So right here, it doesn't just say it's right in his own eyes, as in it's correct, but this is actually translated in other places as righteous or upright. So this is saying that in the fool's eyes, his thing is the most righteous thing to do. That is the thing that I should be doing, and it's almost, which as we'll see a little bit later, you've changed what you believe to be the godly thing to do in that situation. It comes to the idea of, I know the right thing to do, and I'm proud of the fact that I know the right thing to do. That idea where I know what it is and no one else is going to be able to correct me. I know I'm right, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Conceitedness goes along with a little bit of self-deception, which is the next point. In Proverbs 14:8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." A fool is going to deceive themselves into believing that what is right. When we're talking about being conceited, he's not saying, I believe this is right, and he's just trying to trick everyone. He's actually tricked himself into believing that that is the way that it is. I have decided, I have figured out what the right thing is to do. They'll use any sort of means to justify that sort of idea. I'm sure that people in here have met or even been, I know I've been on that side of things where you're justifying, you know what you want to do, and then you think of the reasons afterwards. After you decided what to do, you think of the reasons as to why it's the best reason to do what you've already decided to do. That's this kind of idea of self-deception in this part of Proverbs, right? The needing to hear versus what you want to hear, right? We hearken back to that. All these passages are connected to each other. A lot of the things about the fool are all related to each other in this case. Going to a little bit deeper about more than just damaging general relationships, you're going to be having troubled family relationships. In chapter 15, Solomon in verse 5 says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." There's the common trope of the rebellious teen, you know, 14, 12, whatever it may be, that rebelliousness. In previous weeks, I believe 2 weeks ago, Pastor was talking about how you have the 14-year-old that doesn't look ahead. He doesn't look ahead to what he needs to do, what he might have to do, right? That idea of rebelliousness or the troubled family relationships, the rejection of their parents' authority in this case, is foolishness. And Solomon is talking about that as being a thing. How many of you have had at some point in time with kids when they're really mad and they don't like the thing that's going on, maybe some kid says, I hate you, right? That's happened before, and it's in anger. They obviously don't mean it. A lot of times they come back crying later and apologize for it. But that sort of foolishness, that instinctive reaction to rebel against the family, that's a damaging to a relationship. Now, thankfully, God made a lot of ways to repair relationships, which they can follow to bring that back. But that idea will cause damage. That foolishness will cause damage. A foolish person is going to have shames on themselves. In 18, verse 13, Solomon says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. We talked a little bit earlier about this type of thing, as doing things really quickly off the cuff. I mentioned the taking the quiz answer too fast and not getting the points for it, and there's a laughingness to go along with that. But this idea of hearing here, this word, it carries with it, the Hebrew word carries with it the idea of a total consent or an active choice to have total understanding of what you're trying to, or at least trying to have total understanding of what you're trying to hear. This isn't just a passive, I'm going to wait for them to finish talking, and now I'm going to say what my piece is. No, this is an active awareness of what this person is doing with the idea of completeness, right? The shame idea is an insult to the person who's hearing, actually, not necessarily to the person who's being said it to, right? So I joked around about the quiz thing, but imagine someone's trying to comfort someone who's lost a family member, and that person's lost. You want to try to hear the whole situation before you start jumping about a lot of different things. You need to have that relational testimony with them to be able to understand what their situation is and how to best reply to it. Or it is shameful. God says if you just go out without any sort of thought, without any hearing, that is a shame to you. Foolish people tend to eventually become ruthless or dangerous to be around, actually. In Proverbs 17, verse 12, it says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. I don't know whether anyone's ever seen a bear run, and I'm talking about like a grizzly bear. But grizzly bears can run approximately as fast as a lot of thoroughbred racehorses for about 100 meters, not very long. So like theoretically, if you're more than 100 meters away, maybe it'll work out. But there's not really an escaping from a bear, not in any standard case. Most of them can climb. Grizzly's not as good, but they can climb there fast. And this is talking about the mama bear, the stereotypical one. She's had her pups robbed from her, so this is not a good day. And Solomon's saying it would be much better for a person to meet that person than to meet a fool. And really, this harkens back a lot to those types of foolish people who are just active in their foolishness to the point of destruction, destroying themselves, destroying those around them, damaging those around them. This is a more permanent type of destruction. Also, the risk of being drawn away from godly wisdom. For the worldviews that we were talking about before. Solomon's I thought that was a very poignant example of the fact that you would rather be around something where it's almost certain death versus, oh, maybe you'll be around a person that's being foolish. Like, that's not your first instinct. Your first instinct is to run away from certain death and, oh, it's okay if this person's being an idiot. But it's not really that way, according to Solomon. And a lot of that comes from the next point, which is misplaced values, right? Proverbs 17, verse 16 says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Hath no heart to it, or we talked about he doesn't seek after that wisdom that we were talking about before. A foolish person's values will reflect their thoughts. It may not be instant at first to be able to see that. Someone might be really good at talking the talk, as we were talking about before, the foolish person saying something that they want everyone to hear. But eventually, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That does eventually come out what their values are, where you're seeking that advice, and what kind of value you put towards that advice. A foolish person will seek advice in other fools, as we talked about. They'll put that value into the advice from other fools, and they will have absolutely no value towards sources of wisdom. God's word, people that are studying God's word and trying to help expound it to them, that won't enter into a fool's mind as being something that is worth their time. People who don't bother listening at Bible studies and things like that. I'm not saying that, you know, I've never been distracted to Bible study. Please don't interpret it in that way. But that sort of thing where you're actively ignoring those types of sources of godly wisdom. There's the next passage. The next point is a little bit related to one we've done before, and that's being self-deluded. Now, it's got a slightly different connotation as self-deceit. In Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. We're coming back to that one because it's really got a lot to unpack. The subtle difference between self-deception and self-delusion is not only that you're convinced that what you are doing is the right thing to do, but that no matter what other people could offer you, it's the cream of the crop. It's the total top. You're deluded yourself into thinking that you have found the total top for everything else, and now you're giving that wisdom to other people too at that point in time. They're very closely related, but a little bit different. A good example would be someone who is delusional. I mean, that's where we get the word from. Someone who thinks that something is the not only truth, but the absolute truth that they need to share with other people or they need to live. It becomes their whole reality at that point in time. A fool is also unfocused. So in Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." How many of you have ever heard someone say, "I don't like drama," right? And then how many of you have seen that person seek out drama at some point in time? That's a very common thing. It's a very common thing. A lot of people are drawn to that sort of thing. It's human nature in a lot of cases, right? So a foolish person will jump from conflict to conflict, whether this be a really active conflict or maybe just something they can sit at the outskirts of and try to understand or try to get involved in. This sort of thing, they're going to be meddling throughout this all the time, whereas a wise person is actually not going to seek drama. They're going to actually mean it when they say that sort of thing. And it is a lot of people's first instinct to seek out that, even if they like saying that that's not the thing they need to do. A foolish person will also be judged of God. Now listen carefully in this verse, in verse 26 and verse 10. "The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors." Now at first glance, this kind of feels like one of those passages where it says, God causeth to rain on both the just and the unjust. Things like that, where it's like, you know, God's going to reward everyone. But if you actually read into the words, it comes more across as a connotation of just desserts, if you would. Your reward, it's also translated as wages in other places. I mean, we have one of the most famous examples of wages in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So this is not the reward that they, and the way they were reading it, they wouldn't have seen it as in, oh, God's going to reward these people richly. No, they're thinking like, these people are going to get what they deserve. God will justly judge the foolish person, according to this, in the same way that he says that he will justly judge the righteous throughout this type of thing. So a foolish person will be judged, and in this case, it is a self-destructive thing because it is foolishness that they are doing. Back in Proverbs 26, verse 11, when the dog, talking about as the dog returneth to his vomit, so that the fool to his folly, that also has the idea of addiction, and that's going to be a huge thing that a foolish person is going to have. The instincts that we were talking about before, the dog's instincts, I said that we could train them out of the dog. You can make it so it's no longer the first thing that the dog wants to do, right? But while those instincts are there, the dog will be compelled to do that sort of thing, right? Now, not all dogs are instantly compelled, but a person is a very same way. While those instincts to be foolish in that way are there, those types of activities, those will immediately be the things they seek out. It will be an instinctual turning towards that, when they may be stressed or when there's a lot going on and they don't have time to think about a lot of things. The Hebrew word the Hebrew word for return in both of these is actually two different words. The first word is shub. Sorry, I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. But it has the idea of just simple repetition, returning to something. So the dog repeatedly returns to his vomit. The second one, shana, has an additional connotation of self-alteration. Right, so altering oneself. It's also used to in the idea of disguising oneself. So the fool returneth, or he alters himself towards his folly, right? So this is an active thing. God's not saying this is passive, this is just what's going to happen. You're actively, as you're choosing this foolishness, you're choosing to alter yourself towards this type of addictive personality, towards some activity or some event type of thing. And that also leads itself to the next point, which is impulsiveness. The fool tends to be impulsive. In Proverbs 29, verse 11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Right, we already talked about the idea of speaking before hearing fully, before actively hearing what is being said. This is the indication of an impulsiveness that the wise person is talked about not having repeatedly throughout the Proverbs. That idea of afterwards, it has the idea of completion, right? That word is talking about being complete. So after it's complete, then that's when the wise people will talk, right? But the fool will not wait until completion. He will not wait until everything's done. There, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "Better to be thought a fool." I don't remember it. Do you remember the way it starts, Scott? What? Yes. Yes. "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." right? So that even the world has the idea of what this is, this impulsiveness, right? This is not an uncommon thing, and it's human nature to instantly say it. Kids talking, I know that I know there are some kids when they're younger have problems getting the sentences out because they just want to speak and they don't want to form the sentence first before they go in and actually say what it is. And there's actually therapy that happens if a kid doesn't get out of that habit later on to break them of that habit to make them fully form the thought before they can speak. That impulsiveness, though, in a fool is something that is cultivated. They've taken the time over and over again through repeated action to have that addictive impulsiveness towards these types of things. So as we're examining all these different things, I know I kind of flew through those. As you can tell, I'm a little nervous when I get in front of people to speak. But really, for the third truth that we need to understand is we need to be honest of where folly is present in our lives, right? So we have those questions about necessary conversion. So I have some questions to ask about that. One of the first questions is, am I born again? I know that many people here have made a profession of faith, but that is going to be a most important thing for avoiding this foolishness, for choosing the path of wisdom, is going to be seeking after God. And I know there are probably people listening on the live stream too. Here at the church, we would love if you would send an email to us and set up a meeting or something like that. If you do have that as being something you would like to do to come to know Christ, to avoid this path of the fool and seek after the way wise. A next question, though, is, do I realize my limitations, right? The limitations we were talking about before, the fool, they've got it figured out. Well, they think they have it figured out. Those types of limitations, do I realize where those are? Am I seeking them? Am I seeking where I've gotten that attitude? Am I motivated to learn, to not stagnate, to go to that next level of wisdom continually, to understand that there's still more wisdom to be found? No one has found it in all and made it all and condensed it to a nice pill form that you can take. This is something that's going to need to continually go. You need to be motivated to forever. Am I seeking the contents of my worldview from godly sources? God's word, the very first one, but also talking to the people around you, the elders teaching the younger. And notice, not the elder, so you don't just go to that one guy that you know he's going to give you that right answer, that one parent that's going to say yes when you want to get something. You don't go to that person. No, this is sources, right? You're getting everyone. When the older are teaching the younger, godly people, your pastor, different things like that, godly friends, people that in a group can help guide you to those truths when sometimes you have that twisted mind that the fool tends to have that is going to draw you away. Am I patient as God molds me? That idea of twisting the events around you and getting kind of frustrated and angry at God, because a lot of people go through rough times a lot. There are seasons of life, that's just how it is, right? Are you patient as God's doing that? I know that there have been several times in my life when God has tried to teach me to be patient and I thought I had gotten it, and then the next thing happens and you realize, wow, no, I didn't. But then you think you got it, and then the next thing happens and you realize, wow, no, I didn't. So do you have that idea just to be patient throughout the whole time? Is that something that you're cultivating yourself actively? And then finally, do I think I've arrived? I've found everything. That total knowledge, obviously, is very much related to the, am I still motivated to keep going? Because you haven't arrived. No one has arrived except for Christ. Christ arrived before he came to earth. And the fourth truth is going back to taking the corrective measures while we still have time to correct those patterns, right? While we still have time here. None of these things are easy things. They are things that need to be continual effort to do. And they will take time to do. It's not going to be a switch that you flip. Because you have gone home and you have read through the Proverbs does not mean that you can now apply all the things that you have learned. That addictive and impulsiveness is a part of all of our human natures. The things that we're supposed to die to daily. Bless you. The things that you're supposed to die to daily and continue doing. So while we have time to do that, let's continue actively seeking after these corrective measures. Let's pray real fast and then we'll take some prayer requests. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for bringing us here together safely to worship you. I pray that as we continue our topical study in Proverbs of wisdom and the fool and his ways, Lord, that you continue to allow us to learn from it and apply it to our lives, that we would fight after the type of simple foolishness that tends to invade over and over again, that tends to grow, that we would continue to seek after godly wisdom and to avoid the path of the destruction of the fool. In Jesus' name, amen.